Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we get started, I want to say our program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And I want to thank Janet so much for sending along a one-time donation through our website at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Inspector Thorne, the original air date. The original air date, August the 31st of 1951. And this episode of Inspector Thorne is The Dark Cigarette Murder Case.
And now the National Broadcasting Company presents Inspector Thorne in The Dark Cigarette Murder Case. Tonight, the National Broadcasting Company presents the exploits of the spectacular young Inspector Thorne of the Homicide Bureau, whose investigations rank with many of the most celebrated ones in the annals of crime fiction. An investigator smart enough to claim he is dumb and modest enough to believe it. Tonight, Inspector Thorne turns to the Dark Cigarette Murder Case. Shadows are beginning to fall as in the noisy, crowded heart of the city, we see a young man in his early 20s urging a girl down the back stairs from the Conroy Music School on the second floor of an old building. The young man is Don Galen, the well-known jazz clarinetist, and he takes the girl, Flora Withers, out of the back door and into a narrow alley beside the school, saying,
"Don't be so curious, Flora. I'll put you wise in a second."
"What is all about, Don? I don't see why you have to drag me into the alley."
"Hush up, Flora, and get through this door."
"All right, Don, but I just..."
I guess we're safe here in the alley."
"Safe? What do you mean?"
"Listen, Flora, I've struck something hot in the music school. Something dangerous."
"Something dangerous, Don?"
"Terribly. I want your advice on what to do about it, Flora."
"Well, what is it?"
"Step away from the door a little. That's it. Now, you know that..."
"Don! Don, look out!" "No, not me. I don't know anything. I've got to run."
And now, a few minutes later, we see policemen holding back the crowds at each end of the alley, while a police sergeant stands guard over the body of the murdered man lying at the back door leading to the Conroy Music School. Suddenly, a quiet but authoritative man comes through the crowds, the fabulous Inspector Thorne of Homicide, and approaches the police sergeant, saying,
"You beat me to it, Sergeant Muggin."
"I was right on call, Inspector Thorne."
"What's the pitch?"
"This young guy caught some lead in his back, Chief. His name's Don Galen, according to stuff in his pocket."
"Don Galen, huh? Any witnesses?"
"No one. A cop on the beat heard shooting and ran over. Likewise, some citizens walking on the avenue. It was all over by that time."
"I see this door leads upstairs, Muggin."
"Yeah, Chief. It goes to the Conroy Music School. I've kept everyone in there."
"Good work. There might be a connection with the dead young man, Don Galen, and the school."
"That's what I figured."
"Conroy Music School, huh? Is that Lou Conroy, Muggin, the man who was once a big-time jazz musician?"
"Right the first crack, Chief. Conroy owns and runs a school, and is he putting up a holler?"
"A holler?"
"Conroy says we've got no right to hold him or anybody else in the school."
"That's so, Muggin. Let's go upstairs to the Conroy Music School. We're starting with Mr. Lou Conroy." "How do you do, Mr. Conroy? I'm Inspector Thorne. You've met Sergeant Muggin, I believe."
"He sure has."
"Sergeant Muggin has been taking some pretty high-handed measures around here, Inspector Thorne. Locking us up like a bunch of criminals."
"One of you might be a murderer, Mr. Conroy."
"Nobody's a murderer around here, Inspector Thorne. You're giving my music school a bad name."
"It'll have a worse name if you don't cooperate with the police."
"All right. What do you want of me?"
Do you know the young man who was shot near the back door of your school?
I can't help where he was shot.
Answer me. Do you know the murdered Don Galen?
He was a teacher here at the Conroy Music School.
So the dead man was a teacher here, and you object to talking to the police. I wonder why.
Oh, now, look, Inspector Thorne, you're getting this wrong.
Am I, Mr. Conroy?
Oh, I guess I got too riled up. But you see, I built this school on my own reputation. It means a lot to me. I can't have people fouling it up.
Especially the police, Mr. Conroy?
I'm telling you what I know.
Go on. You say the murdered Don Galen was a teacher here.
Yes, Inspector Thorne. Don was only about 25, but he had a hot name as a clarinet player. We put him on the staff for prestige. Come to think of it.
What, Mr. Conroy?
Just before the murder, I saw Don go out with one of the pupils here in the school.
What pupil?
A would-be blues singer, Flora Withers. She was studying here. I noticed them because it seemed to me that Don Galen was sneaking out with Flora, sneaking down the back stairs.
They weren't sneaking.
Judy. Well, Inspector Thorne, Sergeant Muggin, this is my niece, Judy Smith.
Well, yes, I heard what you were saying, Uncle Lou, and it isn't so. I saw Don and Flora go out, and they weren't sneaking at all, Inspector Thorne.
Do you work here at your uncle's music school, Miss Smith?
Yes, Inspector Thorne, I do the secretarial work. And I was right in my office at the head of the back stairs when Don Galen and Flora Withers left.
You're a fool, Judy. Why don't you stay out of this?
Well, why should I, Uncle Lou?
Because Flora shot Don Galen.
Why do you say that, Mr. Conroy?
Yes, Uncle Lou, why?
Well, if I must talk, because of you, Judy.
Because of me?
You stole Don away from Flora, didn't you?
That's a perfectly horrible thing to say.
But is it true, Judy?
It most certainly is not, Inspector Thorne. Why, Flora Withers and I were friends.
I've got eyes in my head, Judy. I saw Don making up to you.
But Flora didn't care, and even if she did, she'd never murder anybody, Uncle Lou. Why, she's a nice girl.
In that case, where is Flora Withers? She was due here for a lesson with me, and she hasn't turned up. It looks as if she's taking it on the lam.
You've got something there, Mr. Conroy. Sergeant Muggin, send out a call to pick up Flora Winters.
Got you, Chief.
Who else is in the school now, Mr. Conroy?
Only Bob Seymour, the business manager, and my wife, Evelyn. The dinner hour is always quiet, Inspector Thorne.
Where are Bob Seymour and your wife?
Oh, Bob Seymour was busy getting out some instruments that we rent and repair as a sideline. He's in the room at the end of the hall.
And your wife?
Oh, my wife, Evelyn, was waiting to go out to dinner with me. She's probably reading a magazine somewhere.
Well, Mr. Conroy, I think I'll have a talk with your business manager, Bob Seymour.
Bob Seymour couldn't have anything to do with this, Inspector Thorne.
I'm just a dumb cop, Conroy. But I can't help wondering why you don't want me to talk to anybody. Don't try to leave here until I give the word.
What a mess. And you're not helping Judy.
But, Uncle Lou,
why do you have to protect Flora Withers? It's plain as day she did it.
Well, it's not plain to me.
Maybe you just want to think that, Judy, so you won't feel responsible. Now, listen to your Uncle Lou. Stay out of it.
Maybe I will and maybe I won't, Uncle Lou. But I won't believe that Flora killed Don until I see the proof.
Judy, come back. Judy!
And now, as Inspector Thorne enters the office of Bob Seymour, business manager of the Conroy Music School, we hear...
Bob Seymour, I'm Inspector Thorne of Homicide.
Oh, come in, Inspector Thorne.
Well, you've got quite a stock of musical instruments in this room.
They come and go, rent and repair stuff. A good service for musicians and a fairly profitable sideline for the school.
Mm-hmm. What did you know about the murdered clarinet player, Don Galen?
Well, he brought us a lot of business, Inspector Thorne.
You have a one-track mind, Mr. Seymour.
I suppose I do. But I hardly knew Don outside of business, except that one of the students had a crush on him.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. A pretty kid named Flora Withers, trying to be a blues singer.
Inspector Thorne.
Yes, Sergeant Muggin.
The alarm's out for Flora Withers. First step, she didn't go home.
You mean... Flora Withers is missing.
That's right, Mr. Seymour.
So Flora Withers killed Don Galen.
Maybe, Mr. Seymour.
But if Flora's missing, she was jealous of the little secretary here, Judy Smith.
So I've heard. Now... Who's that?
That's Evelyn, Mrs. Conroy, playing that phonograph of hers again.
Funny time for Mrs. Conroy to be playing a record.
And a funny song to pick, Muggin. Frankie and Johnny, the torch song of the ages.
Evelyn Conroy used to be a popular torch singer before she lost her voice and her looks, Inspector Thorne. Now she spends a great deal of her time sitting around playing records.
You don't say. Did Mrs. Conroy have any dealings with the murdered Don Galen, Mr. Seymour?
Just that Mrs. Conroy is the one who suggested giving Don Galen a teaching job here at the school.
You mean it wasn't her husband's idea, even though he owns the school?
Evelyn practically forced Conroy to employ Don Galen here at the school.
Why did Conroy object?
Oh, jealous, I guess, Inspector Thorne. Conroy was a big-timer once, likes to lead the band, not play second fiddle to a famous clarinet player like Don Galen.
So Evelyn Conroy sponsors Don Galen, and he's murdered, and now she's playing this particular record, Frankie and Johnny.
Holy hat, Chief. You don't think...
I'm not up on music, Muggin, but I remember one verse of that song that goes, Johnny saw Frankie a-coming. Please now, Frankie, don't shoot. But Frankie put her finger on the trigger, and the gun went root-toot-toot. She shot her man because he done her wrong.
Golly, Inspector Thorne. Maybe Evelyn Conroy was in love with Don Galen. Maybe she killed him out of jealousy.
Let's go, Sergeant Muggin, and see if we can find out.
Okay, Chief.
It's coming from one of these small rooms down the hall.
Must be this one.
Yes. Yes, there's Evelyn Conroy at the phonograph. Mrs. Conroy.
Yes?
I'm Inspector Thorne of the police. This is Sergeant Muggin. We heard the record you were playing, Mrs. Conroy.
I was just amusing myself while waiting for my husband.
With the dead man on the doorstep?
Why not?
I may be wrong, but it seems an odd time to play a torch song.
That depends, Inspector Thorne. This particular one I'm playing is very appropriate, seeing that Flora shot her man because he done her wrong.
Flora Withers, Mrs. Conroy?
Of course. Who else?
You yourself have been suggested, Mrs. Conroy.
Me? That's absurd.
Is it? Bob Seymour says you got Don Galen on the staff of the music school.
Well, suppose I did.
For what reason?
Now I see what you're driving at. I got Don Galen on the staff because he was an asset to the school, and for no other reason.
So you say.
There was nothing personal between me and Don Galen, Sergeant Muggin.
Listen, sister, between your kind and a guy, it's always personal.
I don't have to take such cracks. Ha ha. I'll bet Mr. Big Mouth Seymour didn't tell you that he had a fight with Don Galen.
You say Bob Seymour and the murdered man, Don Galen, had a fight?
I'll say they did, Inspector Thorne. Don accused Bob of holding out money. Commissions on pupils that Don brought into the school.
The murdered man accused Bob Seymour of cheating him.
That's right.
Frankly, I'm puzzled, Mrs. Conroy. Your husband owns and runs this music school. Wouldn't he know about the money as well as Bob Seymour?
This was something between Bob and Don.
Really? Don Galen could have found out that both Bob and your husband were cheating him.
Get hep, Inspector Thorne. That would-be blues singer Flora Withers shot Don. It's obvious.
So everyone tells me. But maybe I'm too stupid to see it this fast.
Flora was nuts for Don, get it? And he was going for my niece, Judy.
Is that so?
If Flora didn't kill Don, why would she take it on the lam?
How did you know Flora Withers is missing?
Why, my husband told me.
I wonder what else your husband told you, Mrs. Conroy.
What do you mean?
I wonder if he told you to put suspicion on Flora.
He did nothing of the kind.
Or was it your own idea? Come on, Sergeant Muggin.
Okay, Chief. What next?
I'm bothered, Muggin. It doesn't fit together. It's like a jigsaw puzzle with a piece missing.
If you ask me, there are too many pieces.
None of them right. Come on down the hall to the back stairs.
Okay, Chief. Listen, maybe we are looking for trouble. The fact is, the would-be blues singer Flora Withers went down those back stairs with the murdered Don Galen. And now Flora's missing.
Flora Withers looks guilty, Muggin, but what gets me is the way all these other people in the music school are reacting.
You think one of them did it?
Well, I don't know, but if the blues singer did it, why do the others act so suspicious?
Yeah.
And yet, They're not really suspicious. All I get is hints.
Take it easy, Chief.
I must be dumber than I thought, Muggin. If only I had... Muggin, there on the floor. Maybe that's the missing piece of the puzzle.
That cigarette butt?
This isn't just an ordinary cigarette butt. Take a look at that filler. It's unusually dark and ragged.
A reefer.
Yes, a reefer. That's what cigarettes filled with dope, marijuana, are commonly called.
What's a dope-filled cigarette doing in the hall of a music school?
Exactly, Muggin. What I want to know is, where and how does drug trading come into this? If it does, was it a crime of passion after all?
Inspector Thorne in the Dark Cigarette Murder Case will return in just a moment. But first, it's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Tonight, hear another exciting adventure as Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons, is called in to solve the baffling Rose Garden murder case. And here are a few more program notes. Sunday, be sure to hear the further adventures of gentleman detective Simon Templar, alias the Saint. Also on Sunday, there's screen actor Lloyd Nolan as hard-hitting Martin Kane, Private Eye. And then there's the new series featuring The Whisperer, an investigator who enters the underworld and solves many of the cases which have long confused the law enforcement authorities. Then hear adventure and international intrigue as James Monks comes to the NBC microphone as Mr. Moto. And here's a listening reminder about Thursday evenings. If you like radio drama that is different, stories you won't easily forget, hear Dimension X. Dimension X brings you stories of time and space and brought to you in future tense. Hear Dimension X next Thursday for something new in radio entertainment. Well, there you have it. A brief rundown of the programs you'll soon be hearing over this, your NBC station. Now, back to Inspector Thorne and the Dark Cigarette Murder Case. When the famous young clarinet player, Don Galen, is shot at the back entrance of the Conroy Music School where he taught, suspicion falls on the blues singer, Flora Withers, who has disappeared. Lou Conroy, head of the school, insists that Flora shot Don because he had thrown her over for Conroy's niece, Judy Smith. But Judy indignantly denies this. Inspector Thorne is baffled and dissatisfied as he meets Bob Seymour, the business manager of the school, who quarreled with the murdered musician over money. And then Evelyn Conroy, wife of the head of the school, who may have been in love with Don and jealous of Flora, the missing blues singer. And then the case takes a new twist for Inspector Thorne as he finds a marijuana-filled cigarette, a reefer, in the hallway of the music school. And we see him now at headquarters revealing an unusual plan to Sergeant Muggin.
Still no word about the missing blues singer, Flora Withers, Muggin?
Not a sign of it, Chief. She knows we're looking for her, too. It's been in every newspaper. She's got to be guilty or she'd turn up.
Maybe. But what about that reefer we found in the hallway of the Conroy Music School?
We're getting no place, Chief. The guards we put on to watch the school haven't been able to latch onto a thing either. Drugs or anything else. And the newspaper boys keep nagging me. This murdered clarinet player, Don Galen, had a lot of fans.
Muggin, I'm going to give you a story to tell the newspaper men.
Yeah?
You're going to tell them that the would-be blues singer, Flora Withers, has been found.
Oh, but Chief...
She's been found, Muggin. Or at least her body.
Her body?
Tell the reporters that the body of Flora Withers, the missing young blues singer, was found today in the river. A suicide.
Okay, if you say so.
Then, Muggin, I want you to go to all the people at the school. Conroy and his wife, the business manager, Bob Seymour, and Conroy's niece, Judy Smith.
Yeah?
Tell them that we're satisfied that the blues singer, Flora Withers, shot Don Galen and then committed suicide. Tell them that the case is closed.
Uh-huh.
Then, in public, call off the police guards at the school and replace them on the QT with a couple of our best plainclothes men. Got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Then get going.
Well, Inspector Thorne, the newspaper story you dreamed up appeared this morning, and the guys at the school have been called off.
Good, Muggin.
What happens now, Chief?
We wait.
For what?
Maybe for this phone call, Muggin. Inspector Thorne speaking.
This is Bob Seymour, Inspector Thorne, the business manager at the Conroy Music School.
Yes, Mr. Seymour.
This newspaper story about the body of Flora Withers being found in the river, is it true, Inspector Thorne?
Why do you doubt it, Mr. Seymour?
It just doesn't seem like Flora, though I didn't know her well, of course.
Well, Mr. Seymour, the guards at the school have been called off, and you've been told the case is closed. Doesn't that answer your question?
Yes, I suppose so.
Goodbye, Mr. Seymour.
Goodbye, Inspector Thorne.
One party heard from Muggin. One party who wants to make sure that Flora is dead.
I don't see what...
Open the door, Sergeant Muggin. This may be the next party.
Okay, Chief.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Conroy, come right in.
We read the story in the papers, Inspector Thorne.
Yeah, about poor Flora being found in the river.
My wife and I wondered if we could be of any help.
In what way, Mr. Conroy?
Well, I've been rather bothered by the way I treated the police at first, Inspector, and I want to make up for it.
Yes?
I thought perhaps you needed someone to identify Flora's body.
Seeing she was all alone in the city, poor thing.
My wife and I will be glad to help, Inspector Thorne.
Well, that's very public-spirited of you both. Unusually so. But Flora Withers' body has been identified to our satisfaction.
It has.
So there's no need for you to see the body, Mr. and Mrs. Conroy.
Inspector Thorne, I wonder if... Well, Uncle Lou and Aunt Evelyn, what are you doing here?
I might ask you the same thing, Judy.
Just a moment. Sergeant Muggin, I'm expecting someone. Step outside and see that we're not interrupted here.
Right you are, Chief.
Now, what is it, Judy?
Well, I read about Flora killing herself.
Yes?
It's so awful to think of her in the morgue.
Now, Judy.
She was such a nice girl, Uncle Lou, and I feel kind of responsible. If she killed Don because he left her for me...
It wasn't your fault, Judy.
Fault or not, I just can't bear to think of her lying there alone. Inspector Thorne, I'd like to do what I can for Flora. May I...
May you what, Judy?
May I give her a decent funeral?
That's an excellent idea, Judy. It would be very good for the music school to show decent feeling.
That's right, Lou.
Inspector Thorne.
Yes, Muggin?
Your appointment is here, Chief.
Very well, Muggin. Mr. and Mrs. Conroy, Judy, you'll have to leave now. Go this way, please, out the private door.
But, Inspector
Thorne, what about Flora, the funeral?
I'll see what can be done, Judy. Goodbye. Well, Muggin, that story we planted in the newspapers about finding the body of Flora Withers is getting results.
But you don't know the half of it, Chief.
Oh, yes, I do, Muggin. Tell the missing blues singer, Flora Withers, to step in.
How did you know, Chief? Okay, Miss Withers.
Welcome, Miss Withers.
What's the idea of saying I'm dead and that I killed Don and threw myself in the river, Inspector Thorne?
What's the idea of hiding out, Miss Withers?
That's my business.
And it was my business to find you. I thought that story would do it.
What? You mean...
I mean it was a plant. Now talk.
Well, Inspector Thorne, I had to hide. I was afraid to come here.
Afraid of being arrested, Flora?
Oh, no, Sergeant Muggin. Afraid of being killed, like Don.
Yes?
Don took me down in that alley to tell me something, Inspector Thorne. He got as far as saying he'd found out something dangerous about the music school, and he was shot from the doorway.
Who shot him?
That's the trouble. I didn't see who it was. The door was only open a little.
So we still don't know who killed Don or what he was going to say.
No, Sergeant Muggin. But now I'm sure the school is a center for drug distribution.
Drugs?
And that Don Galen was killed because he found out.
How awful.
But who's in on it? And where's the proof we need? Miss Withers, you can help us get that proof.
Me, Inspector?
I warn you, it may be dangerous.
Don was my friend, Inspector Thorne. I'd like to get the person who killed him.
Very well. Now, listen.
Now, late that night at the Conroy Music School, we see Judy Smith, the young niece, going into the alley, through the back door, up the dimly lit staircase. She opens the door to the reception room and...
gasps.
Bob Seymour.
Judy.
Oh, you frightened me.
I don't feel so chipper myself. What on earth are you doing here, Judy?
It's very strange. I got a telegram.
I see.
What do you mean, Bob?
I got a telegram, too.
You didn't.
My telegram says, "Dead women tell tales. If you want to learn something to your interest, be at the Conroy Music School at 11 tonight."
Why, that's exactly what mine says.
What could it mean, Judy?
I don't know, but I... Oh, someone's coming.
Get back out of the light.
Oh, Uncle Lou, Aunt Evelyn.
Judy. Evelyn, it's Judy.
I can see Judy, Lou. And Bob Seymour, too.
What's going on?
Hold on, Conroy. Did you and your wife, Evelyn, get a telegram to be here at 11 o'clock tonight?
Why, yes, Bob.
Judy and I got telegrams, too.
No.
Hail, hail, the gang's all here.
Be quiet, Evelyn, this is serious.
You're telling me. I'm leaving.
Wait a minute, Evelyn, we've got to find out what this is all about.
You find out, Lou, and tell me.
Hold your horses, Evelyn. We're all in this together.
Listen, Bob Seymour, I know when to clear out.
Look at the time.
Time, Judy?
It's 11 o'clock. That's the hour in the telegrams. I'm leaving right now.
Listen.
Hello, everybody.
It's Flora Withers, risen from the dead.
Good Lord.
Flora.
Don't you think I'm a healthy core?
Make her go away. Make her go away.
Oh, shut up, Evelyn Conroy. I'm no more dead than you are.
Oh.
I don't understand. The police have your body.
Not my body, Mr. Conroy. I found another girl who looked enough like me. I got rid of her. Dressed her in my clothes.
But why? What?
Okay, you're alive, Flora. What do you want?
You have nerve, Bob.
Quit stalling. You sent us those telegrams to meet you here.
That's right. I have a proposition to make.
A proposition?
Don Galen was killed because he found out something about the music school. He just had time to tell me what he learned before he was shot.
What could Don find out about the school?
I think you know, Mr. Conroy. And I intend to cash in on it.
What are you talking about?
I'll put it in plain English. Drugs are being distributed from the school. I have the proof. And I'm going to tell the cops unless you fork over $10,000.
No, it's not true.
The cops think I'm dead. That's just the way I planned it. And if you behave yourself, I'll just fade away like a good little corpse.
Flora, you're mad.
I told you I had the proof, Conroy. You ship the drugs inside the musical instruments you rent and repair.
No.
Some of the jobs are on the level, but others are phony. Blinds for shipping dope all over the country to people pretending to be musicians.
It's a lie, a crazy lie. I'm calling the police.
I wouldn't do that, Conroy.
The girl's crazy, Bob.
I said, don't call the police.
Bob, put down that gun.
Get over in that corner, Conroy, with Flora. You too, Mrs. Conroy.
Bob!
You see, Flora Withers is right.
You can't
mean... Yes, Mr. and Mrs. Conroy, drugs are being distributed from the school. They're being distributed by me and your niece, Judy.
No!
Yes, yes, me, Uncle Lou, your innocent little girl. Oh, you and Aunt Evelyn are so stupid a child could fool you.
That's enough, Judy. They've got a job to finish.
What are you going to do?
Unfortunately, you know too much, Conroy, and so does your wife, Evelyn, and Miss Flora Withers.
He's going to kill us.
You're right, Evelyn.
Oh.
Judy, go ahead of us. I'm taking them down the stairs into the alley. You go first, and when the coast is clear, knock on the door once.
All right, Bob.
Get moving, you three, and no funny stuff, or I'll pull this trigger.
Drop that gun, Bob Seymour.
Inspector Thorne!
I'm hit! Judy, run for it!
I've got Judy, Chief.
And I have Bob Seymour, Sergeant Muggin. All the rest of you all right?
Yes, Inspector Thorne.
You rat, Thorne, you got me in the arm.
That's not all you're going to get, Bob Seymour. You and the Conroy's niece, Judy, peddled drugs and killed Don Galen because he got wise.
You got no proof. We deny everything.
Don't be ridiculous. The state witness is Flora Withers, the blues singer.
Flora!
Yes, Seymour. Flora died and was resurrected by arrangement with the police. She sent those telegrams by arrangement with the police and knew about the shipments of drugs and the musical instruments because the police intercepted the trumpets you sent out today, believing that the case was closed.
I told you to be careful, Bob.
Shut up, Judy.
You'd better, Judy. I got the whole drug idea when I found the butt of your dope-filled cigarette in the hall. You
what?
Smoked it for courage when the time came for the murder. It had your color lipstick on the tip. Take them away, Muggin.
And so ends the Doc Cigarette murder case. The part of Inspector Thorne is played by Carl Weber. Direction by Edward Slattery. The script was written by Bill Belgard, based on the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. This is Fred Collins speaking, and reminding you that next week, Inspector Thorne in the Nickels and Dimes murder case will be heard next Thursday evening. Consult your local paper for time of broadcast. Stay tuned for Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, on NBC.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Man's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. This solution does remind me a little bit of an episode of Hearthstone of the Death Squad, which we played a couple of years back, and which had an unexpected drug angle also work its way into the story. Other than that, this story really does work, with Inspector Thorne showing a pretty nice twist, and the guest characters pretty much acting as you would expect. Now, on to listener comments, and have an email from Michael, who writes in that Inspector Thorne is one of the most interesting of all the old-time detectives. I'd never heard of him or the program until a week ago when you played him on your podcast. He also says, I know you can't make more episodes, but please play Inspector Thorne more. And perhaps you could talk about Thorne on one of your programs. He's definitely different than the others and much more interesting. Well, thanks so much for the comment, Michael, and I'm really glad you enjoy Inspector Thorne. In terms of playing more episodes, the only exception I've made to just doing one episode per week has been back in the Johnny Dollar five-part period. So, generally, we'll pay one episode a week, two if it's 15-minute episodes. And you really wouldn't want me to play more because Inspector Thorne is going to be gone pretty soon, even as it is. There are only four episodes left. I also think Thorne has gotten to be a bit more interesting as a character as time goes on. I won't go so far as to say that it's a match for Columbo, as the digital deli FTP.com suggests, but there are some similarities in this hidden cleverness and some of the twist in how he handles the investigation. I think this week's episode was a good example of how he managed to play the only person who could provide them evidence to lead to the real killer's identity. There's probably not a whole lot to say about Inspector Thorne. He didn't come from a book or a movie or previous property. And in many ways, he was quite similar to a lot of the Hummer detectives, though I think the scripts definitely got a little cleverer than we might have seen on, say, Mr. Chameleon, at least based on the episodes of Mr. Chameleon we've heard. I mean, the really extraordinary thing about this series is that it's 100% intact. Now, that may only be 11 episodes, but given the state of programs that ran much longer, such as Mr. Chameleon, Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, and Hearthstone of the Death Squad, it really is remarkable that this whole series survives, which is why we even have the opportunity to remember it at all. There is an element of just happenstance as to what we actually get to hear. It may not reflect what was popular at the time. There are many very popular programs that ran for many years through which we only have a few exemplars, and in some cases we can't even get a complete story out of them. But Inspector Thorne has been one of these really fortunate ones where we get to hear every episode, even if there aren't many of them. We actually have more episodes of Inspector Thorne, which ran for 11 weeks, than we do of The Fat Man, which ran for 5 years over ABC. There are a lot of different factors that lead to that. I should say that we only have 2 more weeks with Carl Weber in the lead role, and we'll be switching to Stats Cotsworth after that. And that's pretty much all there is to say about Inspector Thorne. I wish there was more I could tell you, Michael, but thanks so much for the email. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, Richard Diamond. Next Tuesday, another episode of Inspector Thorne. In the meantime, send your comments to Box13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.